Hello, everybody, and welcome to Throwlers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Sublime, Alan. Happy to be here. Another Thursday. I feel like this is like three or four Thursdays in a row.
I think it is. I think we might be three in a row here. Just starting a new little trend.
It's the hat trick.
I don't think it is a hat trick. We're back. maybe we'll just steal it. Normally on Thursdays, it was Parked Clubhouse, but I feel like they've maybe packed that in. Have you seen it? You seen a clubhouse in a while?
Nah, I can't remember the last clubhouse I saw, no.
I can't go too hard. They'll get a bit upset. They don't like it when we talk about them. So. but yeah, three in a row. We'll see what happens next week. Might get back to usual programming, might not. what have you been up to? Anything exciting?
School holidays, dude. So, loving life. Got a few days left. Still put Theo in daycare the last couple of days because you got to pay for that shit no matter what. And Ella and I just like hung out together. So I hung out with my wife, and I've not hung out with my wife solo in 18 months. So that was pretty nice. Went and saw a movie. Went and saw the new Twisters. It was good. It was good. Get around it. I don't think it got much media coverage or whatever. And I don't know if you're into the old ones. I definitely enjoyed the old ones. And I had really low expectations, which probably helped. But it was a solid film. It was as good as the old ones. So I was a nice, pleasant surprise. What about yourself?
Not too much. Just trying to get my shit together after a very large grand final day.
Mm-hmm.
So just spending the week just re-acclimatizing my body to normal standards. And I've got a mate's box on Saturday, so that's going to, we're going to ruin it again. But, it's been all right. Just work one more day, so happy days. Neither of us are living as good a life as our good mate Darren, though, who we talked about last week, was in Gambia and Inverley and somewhere, Ballarat maybe, with his brother. Just living the dream, and they took it a step further, flew down to Tassie.
They did.
So, which is cool, but the news in that is that there's a new course in Tassie.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
10 minutes from the airport, did he say, or something?
Yeah, 10 minutes from the airport. Looks like pretty, like a wooded, similar type, maybe not the hills, but like a similar type wooded to Xavier, right? Is from what I gather from the photos.
Yeah, yep. Yep, that's how the vibe felt like that for me.
And they were installing tee pads while Daz was there. So that is pretty exciting.
Very exciting. Very exciting. Aceable. There was some aces flying around based on the scorecards I saw.
Yeah, so it looked like Dazza got a tone pole ace.
Yep.
And Jordy got I've never seen this ever. I've seen tone poles, I've seen tone pole aces, but it looks like they just had the sleeve in the ground for a basket.
Yes.
And he's hit that, and if that's the only target, he's got a sleeve ace.
Yep.
You ever even heard of a sleeve ace?
No, I haven't, but I'd be claiming it.
I'll claim the shit out of it. So, yeah, a couple unconventional aces from the Stace Smith brothers. But, cool. Definitely going to have to get down to Tassie next year. I'll go for the Tassie Open next year and check out the new course.
And I love the idea that it's a future green jacket situation as well, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Really shaping up to be a good spot for it now with the three courses.
Yeah.
All right, so we did our last pod on the back end of Street League, but we didn't have the updated leaderboard then, but we got it now. So we're going to have a little bit of a chat with that and talk about the upcoming final week and what craziness might happen.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've had a look, but I've had a pretty good look, and there are some scenarios.
There are some scenarios. And before we go there, let's just... I don't know if you picked up on this, but you obviously, during that podcast, I said on air that it would be ideal if the final situation was like a 1 vs 2, 3 vs 4, and the winner of 1 vs 2 gets a bye, and so on and so forth. That's how I would like to see it set up. Daz was obviously listening,
yes,
and then created a time machine and went back in time and posted the final setup, and that's what he went with. So kudos for the time machine and kudos for listening.
Yeah, 100%. Great idea by you. And it makes this top two important. Finishing first place, no matter what, though, is the Where's Wally's. They got their fifth round win. Next best is us with three. So we can't get two wins this weekend. So they're going to win. Pretty convincing. When you look at the rest of the leaderboard, it looks like every other team's trash. They got 5 out of 6 total wins so far. 18 match wins, 12 losses, and a 44 up. They're 44 up in their differential. So, absolutely smoking everyone. And we're in second. Pole position to keep second to. Destiny is 1,000% in our hands. So, we've got the 3 round wins. The Bullies and Brennan's Disc Golf team still only on 2 in 3rd and 4th, respectively. So, we win, we're in. There's nothing that can be done about it. But the scenarios that can unfold with us not having a win, woo, it gets exciting. I've had a look and I can see that each one of the teams can finish in each one of the spots. So we'll start with us, plain and simple, win and we're in.
Yep.
But even then, if we lose 4-1, then barring some shenanigans from Brennan's team, the Bullies and us would be the same amount of, because we're playing the Bullies this weekend. We would have the same amount of round wins and the same amount of match wins. So it would come down to the differential.
Correct.
Currently, we are 13 ahead. But if they go 4-1, it could get squirrely.
Mm-hmm.
If it goes, 3-2, then they can't do it. We get two, they can't. We win two of our matchups this weekend. Bullies can't do shit. Well, no one can do shit, actually, because Brennan can't get enough either.
Well, they'd have to go
5-0 and win by a billion. Yeah. So there are the scenarios. The way Brennan's Disc Golf team gets in is, that or a 4-1 finish for the Bullies. And Brennan's team goes 5-0 over the Where's Wally's. They would go straight into second spot.
Yeah.
Pretty wild stuff. Yeah, Bullies, if they, like I said, the scenarios, if they beat us, 4-1, potentially 3-2, they can get up there. So, but Brennan's team against the Where's Wally's 5-0, I don't know.
No, I don't know. I don't know either. But yeah, it's all there, and crazy things have happened. The Bald Hill Bullies lost to Brennan's team on their home track in their pristine home conditions. So anything could happen. Speaking of home track, like this, I don't know. The street league's great. Keep it going, Dads. Nothing needs to change. But I do wonder, and me and Hardy were having this convo, like, does this just naturally evolve to, like, territorial geographical positions, or do we need to pull a trigger on, like, putting some localized situations to this?
So, are you talking about maybe having a West team, an East team, a South team, a North team,
Bald Hill Bullies.
Yeah, so Bald Hill team, like a Stony team, a Ruffy team, and a Melton team or something. I don't know. I am both for and against it. I do like looking back on a trophy and it's got 4 in a row Stony Creek.
Yeah.
Something like that. But at the same time, I do like this sort of mix up. I feel like if we have a Melton squad and then we're meant to play at Bicentennial or something, like, how many of them are coming?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, it's going to be hard for them to front up a squad or vice versa. And just the is definitely more of a chill environment, this format. I feel like if it got a bit more territorial, and then having to make, you'd have to make a squad rather than just be assigned. So I really like both concepts.
Yeah, true that.
So I know I'm not giving you much help there. But I'm definitely not mad at keeping the current setup. And it would be the most chill version.
Yeah, true. And the draft's fun. Think. The whole thing's fun. We need to televise that draft.
Yeah. I agree. agree. Daz is not so big on that. He doesn't want last pick to know they're last picked, but yeah. I think they know. Nah, that would be pretty good. All right, what have I got next on my thing? Oh, the Kingston City Classic map was released. I don't know. Are you registered? Did you get a map?
So it came out via... I'm not registered. So it came out via email?
Yes, two registered players. So you're not one of them. So I can't show you, but the course is looking really cool. They've got Bicentennial Caddy map and they've got a Bald Hill Caddy map. The Bicentennial one, I've only really played once or twice, so it's hard for me to tell what I'm looking at there.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bald Hill one, I played a million times, and I am excited. So there are a handful of the normal holes, and then a few of like the classics that we've played many times that we like. So you know, hole 6 over by like the houses, little tunnely type shot. So we're going to play hole 15 from that fork in the path. Near the
beautiful. Yeah,
beautiful. I know the
hole. Yep.
Yeah. So we're doing a bit of that. Hole 18 is the one that starts just to the left of that. Par 4, you got to sort of throw around and then go down to the practice basket. Mm-hmm. We've got the one after that downhill hole 4. There's one we've played before that goes to like that triangle island. Like a long one. So there's a bit of that. But then there's some cool ones I've never seen, which I'm pretty intrigued at as well. So another version of the long par 4 down on Bunny Road, but starting off from the right. So you have to sort of forehand or big crazy backhand turnover out, which looks like a lot of fun. And hole 3 is now playing from the hole 3 tee pad to the basket of hole 4.
Ooh.
I've seen that done before as well, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I'm not sure if I made that one. Hole 10 is playing from hole 10's tee pad to the basket of hole 2. So some fun shapes. Hole 17 looks good. It's the, you know, when you're on like the hole 18 tee pad and you want to do like that crazy backhand turnover shot. It's that, but except the tee pad starting up by the trees to the left of them. So it's more like of a mid or of a fairway backhand turnover. You don't have to get that crazy angle to start off with. So it looks fun. It looks fun as shit. I'm really excited. If the Bicentennial map is anything like this one, then it's going to be a great day. So there's still a million spots available. There's about mid-30s on both days at the moment. I think that, or maybe that is the maximum. Maybe it's 36 per. Oh no, because we can switch, because we're going to split this field in half. Yeah, that's what it is. Right now it looks like all the field is going to be playing one course and then the other, but they could have it where 72 play and half play one in the morning, half play the other, because we're going the 2 days. So plenty of spots. It's next weekend, I'm pretty sure. It is on the Disc Golf Victoria Tour, so tour points are up for grabs, and it looks fun as shit. So I'm keen, and hopefully we'll see your name on that board
I'm going to have a little look at that and run it by the boss when she's in a good mood at some point later this week.
Excellent. All right, we should check out the Llewellyn Social Day scores. So yeah, we didn't do that. We had the Street League on the Thursday and called it a day. But there was plenty of people who made it out to Llewellyn. I'm just trying to find my scores up here from Chris, from Alex. Yeah, we had not too many of the no member and the Div X people, but in Div C, we had Michael Rogers taking it out with a plus one over potentially brother Paul Rogers.
There you go.
Yeah, so doing all right there. Have you got stuff up?
I don't have the divs up. You carry on.
Oh, okay. So Div B taking it out with a very good score of -6 is Al Don. And I just got one question. Alex had the same question. It jumps out like dog's balls. What the hell is Al Don doing in Div B?
Yeah, not sure.
Isn't that guy the current MA40 national champion? What's he doing in Div B? I don't know about that. So, yeah, smacked it. Well, I didn't smack him. Doug Adams and Kalen were next there with a couple -4s. And Philip Hall with a tidy -2. That's got to be good shooting for Philip. I'm sure that'll put him in good stead for the handicap. Yeah, so that's they're the only ones that went under par. And Ash Brook has popped out. I feel like I haven't seen his name in forever.
No, I haven't. I wonder if he's been doing a bit of roller derby or something else. He's a bit of a hobbies fiend. But no, it caught my eye as well.
Well, he's doing a bit of bogey taking, so he ended up pretty far down the leaderboard. But and in Div A, couldn't be outdone. Aiden Howard, revenge for getting touched up on his home course by Brennan. He goes out to Llewellyn, takes a -11, clean card. One of the only, if not the only clean card. There you go. Solid by him. And Mikey Hare with a -8. Sneaky little performance by Mikey. We don't see much of him either.
That's a cheeky little get by him. Well done.
Dan Frawley, nice score there, -6. I feel like that'll put him pretty nice in the handicaps. And Taryn just continuing to give Timmy Ware a touch up. So I'm excited for the Kingston City Classic to see how they match up. Although I think Timmy signed up for MA1, so we'll see how that goes. But and Martin Goh, the only one in Div A to go over par. Come on, Martin. Llewellyn ain't that hard.
I've never played it. Yeah.
That's crazy. That is pretty crazy. Do you have it? I didn't actually. I do. Get the metric stuff the metric up stuff so we can up. Look at the bottom. And yeah, how's the handicaps looking? Who's up the top and who's at the bottom? So
you're right in the sense we have actually a tied second. You don't see many tied on the leaderboard.
Never. It's crazy.
Exactly. So you got a tied second between Philip Hall, as you called, and Mikey Hare. That was good enough for him to get into second. But Paul Rogers with his raw +4 smoked them and got the handicap victory. Al Don, you're obviously saying, what's he doing and blah, blah. He found himself in fourth. And he was sitting on an 875 rating. So he's right near that cap and got it done. Down the other end, once again, Peter Chu. Second to last. It's the theme. Look, we'll have the Foles Awards, no doubt, later this year, and maybe we need to bring out a new award for from hero to zero.
Biggest fall from grace.
Because this man nearly took out the season, went on a little traveling adventure, and it's just he's not brought his frisbees back with him.
No, his life's unraveled. Yep. He's a mess.
Ash Brook is finding himself down that lower end, as pointed out. No other real names are worth mentioning down that bottom end.
There you go. See, I don't even need it up there. I can tell. I just have a look at the raw scores. I'll let you know who played good, who played shit.
A couple of cheeky little mentions. I want to say well done to Kalen for his birdie on hole 15. At a quick scan, he's the only one to birdie 15. And I thought I saw one before. Mikey Hare was the only one to get hole 2. And that's about it. I am missing one. There was another hole. There it is. Levi Norton. All right. Hey, so obviously we've mentioned Levi's name a bunch. Hole 8, again, I've never been to this track, but Levi was the only birdie on hole 8. So there you go. There's three holes out there that only had the solo birdie on it for the day.
That's nice. Good pickup by you. Yeah, I cannot remember what any of these holes are. It's been a minute since I played them.
Harry, now there's one thing up there greener than the rest, though. You've seen that, surely.
Oh yes, I do actually got that from the man himself.
Yeah. So
I'll find the message. You go.
Yeah. So hole 3 again. It's par 4. A few people birdied it. A bunch of people bogeyed it, so I'm going to go ahead and assume it's a pretty legit par 4, not like a Bald Hill hole 3. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, I don't know. But he's the only eagle, goes to Taron Anderson. And you got a hotter scoop than that?
He just let me know that he eagled it. He was the only eagle. He said that he stuck around, so he played the morning, he stuck around for the afternoon and eagled it again.
Bang.
Yeah. So he got 2 on it for the day. He must have sent me on Instagram, not on Messenger. But he got the double eagle on that. If it is if it's the hole I'm thinking of, it is it's a good 2 no matter what. Don't get me wrong. But
yeah,
I think he would have thrown out a big roller, I would imagine.
Sure.
Because it goes out to the left and sort of comes back to the right, but there is definitely a tree you can hit early and then some crap on the right you can get yourself stuck in. If it's the hole that I'm thinking of. If it's not, then disregard. But either way, yeah, the only eagle on the day and 2 of them. So, very nicely done.
Big.
Big indeed. I think that's it from the local stuff. I feel like we haven't had a tournament in a while. Am I crazy?
In a hot minute. We haven't. And we haven't.
And that's a big Australian tournament.
We haven't dropped out many guarantees. Yeah, we haven't been talking about there's been no majors. But, you know, here we are, episode 77. Disc golf goes to bed, but throwers do not. You know, we keep it going for the people.
Yeah. Is this just a weird lull? Like, we haven't done, I haven't had done anything with the Australian tipping comp in forever. I just can't figure out if I'm missing comps or not, but I think that's it. I think we've got Eruption and then Nationals and probably the Aussie Open were the only three big events left. Yeah,
it's just obviously the winter, the Australian winter. You know, it would not be outrageous for Australian disc golf to consider, you know, running a financial year season tour instead of running a calendar year, because like we are in the middle of this winter lull. Why not bookend it the other way?
Not a bad idea.
Yeah.
All right, but there was still plenty of action over in the US. So always a good tournament to watch is the MVP Open. It's part of the playoffs, which means absolutely nothing. I think it's gonna, maybe I should have saved this for my not live, but it's the dumbest shit ever. Like I don't understand. Why is there a playoffs? Why do they, you're not playing off for anything. It's not like you lose, you're eliminated. I don't know. They just, the last two events of the year, they're just like, oh, these are called the playoffs and we'll invite you to play.
Yeah. In its current format, it's not right.
But, like, how could you improve? Like, I don't understand how you could do for disc golf without making, like, basically what the end of year tournament is, doing that over, like, 3 tournaments, or 4 tournaments or something, which I think would be a waste of time.
So, obviously, they've got their, like, tour championship that only the top 32 players for the tour get to play. And it's like the last grab at points to do that, which is just like any other Elite Series event. But I think what they had in mind was that you would go like 80-60-40 for three playoff events. You'd have an 80 player cap, and then whoever shat the bed, only 60 could move on to the next one. And then whoever shat the bed, only 40 could move on to the next one. And then that would be like a pretty epic event. And then if you had anyone outside of the top 32 still at that stage, but they made it to that final 40, they'd have a huge chance to jump into the top 32. And obviously that top 32 is huge because it's like a payday, but that's how it's set up currently at all. But just listening to Tour Life and a couple other things, I think that's kind of what they had in their mind when they started calling it the playoffs, but it never eventuated.
Yeah, because it's just, I don't know. Seems like they didn't invite that many people, and then they started inviting more people when others couldn't come because they're like, oh, well, we need more than that amount of players to come play the tournament because we don't make any money. Like, yeah, of course. Like, what are we fucking doing here?
Yeah.
So I don't know. But either way, they had 80-odd people at this one, and sick event. Maplehill is always good. It's always a bit, a little chancy. So, yeah, it's not like Gannon was just going to definitely win, although I still thought he was definitely going to win. So, I watched a bit of it. It was early. That was the problem with having so few people. And maybe it's the time slot as well, like over in Vermont. I think we're better with the West Coast stuff. But it was early, and I didn't get up that early sometimes. So, I only really caught the tail end of it. But you're going to have to fill in some blanks for me here because I was watching the final round. I had it up, listening to it on the way to work. I sat in my car and watched the last sort of three or four holes before work started. Ricky had it with Proctor and Gossage right there. Gannon a couple back. So you think Ricky just wins. But bogey, Proctor, putt, bang. All of a sudden, he's in the lead. Ricky looks out of it. Gannon not really there. Goose behind. Looking like now a Proctor-Goose battle. Proctor keeps hitting the big putts. He set himself up with a two-stroke lead? Two-stroke lead with one hole to play, hole 18. Hole 18 can get you in trouble, but only when you're looking for trouble, I feel like. I feel like it's not that crazy of a hole otherwise. Anyway, ticks over to about 7 o'clock. I got to start work. Proctor won. I turn it off. And then, ding, 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 seeing messages, googly eyes, what's going on, this and that. What happened? How is he almost fucked this? How did he have to hit a long drop zone putt for a bogey to win? Talk me through it.
Great question. So, hole 18's tough, but it's tougher than years gone by. So, the drive's hard because obviously you're thrown up a hill over a fence. And so, you're kind of forced to throw nose up. And they talked about this well on the Gossage Ezra warm up practice rounds. It's like it's a weird kind of drive because it's uphill, which kind of naturally makes you throw uphill already. But then because there's this rock wall in front of you, it really amplifies that. And you get a lot of shots that are stalling, and they're not just punching the distance up a hill like a lot of these pros can. And then pros trying to juice it and counter that, they end up turning it over into the shit, sometimes turning it over OB on the drive. Anyway, that's what Proctor nearly did. He juiced it off the tee, turned it too much, was genuinely at risk going OB off the drive, actually hits a tree, kicks in bounds real short. But where hole 18 has changed is you used to be able to approach, and now I still remember Paul McBeth sinking a crazy putt from the deep back brick wall up near the pro shop. But there's now a force carry at the end of the fairway, there's an OB zone before the green opens up again. And they've had that as before, but not every year. Anyway, Proctor's in this position where he's got two shots on Macbeth. Sorry, he had three on Macbeth, but he had two on Goose. And because he hit this tree, he had to throw before Goose had to throw his second. So he has to assume that Goose is going to birdie. Like, Goose is further up the fairway, doesn't have an easy shot, but you just have to make that assumption. So Proctor obviously throws to the end of the fairway.
Lay up. Par. Yeah. Like, how do you fuck this up? Sorry, keep going.
He left his layup 45 feet short of the end of the fairway.
Okay.
Which left him like left him like 90 in. Like, it's still less than 100. But it was the best part of 90.
Yeah.
And he saw her off, hit the tree, went OB, had to go to the drop zone. Now hindsight's 20/20, like Goose ends up bogeying it. And so he could have, even after his shit layup, he should have laid up another 40 feet. And just played for the bogey that way, laid up to the end of the fairway.
Yeah.
Then into the green and get your bogey that way instead of having to sink the drop zone putt. But that's why hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah, because I think he had one on Goose and two on Macbeth. So all he had to do was par and he would have to have Goose the birdie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But just sick putt. On Tour Life, they said that's a 60-footer, that drop zone. I don't know if it's a 60-footer, but it's no shorter than 45. Like, it's at least 15 meters.
Yeah, a little uphill too.
A little uphill, and it was just clutch. Sick win.
Yeah, he hit a lot of putts. That was...
Have you listened to Tour Life?
Oh, yes, I did, actually. I finished it off.
Yeah. Yeah, he went ham from circle two. Mm. How many over the weekend did he hit? It was something gross. 7, 9, 10. Yeah, he hit 10 circle two putts for the weekend.
Sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's dope. I like that. Macbeth there in second, so has not got a win this year. Apparently this is his first time in 13 years or something or more without a win.
Yeah.
He's got two more chances, I guess, if they count the playoffs, the tour championship, whatever, as a thing. But he's got the USDGC and then potentially that last thing are his only chances to get a tour victory. So Ricky got one this year, and apparently he's had one every year for the last 14 or wherever it is. So they were on a tie, and now Ricky might jump him. It's weird to think that by the end of this year that, like, Ricky would be the most consistent winner.
Prolific, yeah.
Yeah, in the last – because of just Paul's sheer dominance.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it'd be a nice little record for Ricky to have over Paul. And I don't know. I'd be surprised if he wins USCGC, so – feel like that's going to, break the streak. And then, a couple of names there. Gavin Babcock, who's had a sneaky good year. He's right up there. Gannon Burr, shit tournament, third. Like, what else do you have to say? You know what I mean? Shit tournament, third.
Yeah.
Goose there in third with Ricky as well. Parker Welk, haven't heard that name in forever. Austin Turner,
that's a big one.
Yeah.
Like that man has missed some cash this year and he hasn't played much. That's his biggest event for sure for the year. I'll just read some of his pro tour results. 52nd, 23rd, 24th, 67th, 86th, 50th. There's a 34th, a 56th, a 43rd. Another 43rd. But recently Green Lakes got a 12th. But then back to the playoffs at Smugglers, back down to 42nd, but then back up to 8th.
Yeah, big.
Big.
Big. Big result big. For him.
Yeah.
And I saw, I just got off the page, but Corey Ellis there as well. Bang. Huge final round, huge tournament for Corey Ellis, and much needed. So he was one of the players on the bubble for the top 32, and I'm having a look at it now. He snuck his way into 31st place. So I think he moved up, and who else might have moved up? I think Eagle might have got in there. Joel Freeman potentially, and kicked out Luke Humphreys, Brady Williams, and Ezra Edholt. I feel like all three of those were in last week and may have got jumped up. If I'm having a look at MVP, Emerson Keith got a couple points, Corey Ellis, big points, Burridge, big points, Freeman, big points, Mason Ford, big points, and then Bradley Williams close. He had a good effort, but if he had snuck himself up a couple of spots, he would have snuck in. But not to be had. And Ezra Edholt, we were talking at the start of the year, he was close to winning,
stealing a victory. Yeah,
yeah. And I'm having a look. He took points at most of the events, but just shit ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. So not enough. So. Surprising name to see left off the list there. Most of the other stuff left off the list makes sense to me.
Yeah.
But one name that's really stood out to me, if I get you to tell me the top 10, we won't do it now because you'll forget and it'll be a whole thing, but would you have Chris Dickerson's name come up if you had top 10 performers this year?
Look, now that you've said it, yeah, maybe, but no, like, you know, if you had to put me on the spot, I wouldn't have, but, he's just had a sneaky good year. And like, where's Babcock? Like, how high up is he?
Give me a sec. I was just clicking on Chris's name. 14th.
Yeah. Because like, I think I heard this on Tour Life, like, his worst result has been like a 23rd or something for Babcock.
Yeah, that's why. I thought that was Dickerson.
Or was it Dickerson?
I thought I might have heard that.
Yeah.
I'm having a look in. Dickerson's worst result this year was 28th.
Yeah.
At chess.com. That doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem right. I feel like he was in the mix to win one tournament.
Yeah.
Which the one in his hometown.
He was just always on fourth card, you know, and the way the live coverage works is like, unless you shoot an absolute fire, like they don't send a camera to like anyone past third card. So he was just consistently fourth card.
Yeah, wild. But this is a bit of the state of disc golf in the US at the moment. So had a sneaky good year, the 9th best point scorer this year on tour. Made $35,000 this year. That doesn't seem like enough, right?
No.
That doesn't seem like enough.
No.
Crazy.
Now, how many Chris Dickerson discs do you own?
None.
Yeah.
None. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm looking at the names ahead of him. Ebrella's just ahead of him. I'm sure he's making bank on some discs. Macbeth, yeah. Robinson, Heimberg, Antler selling them like crazy over in Europe. Ricky, Gannon, like, they're all selling discs like a motherfucker. And then you got Dickerson there. I don't know. So, yeah, weird year, but keen to see how it goes at USDGC and all that.
Pretty good tip.
Oh, yeah, of course we're going to do the fucking tip. So, my year's been a shambles, as we know. I'm a mess. I was saving good players for some big tournaments. I was meant to tip Calvin at Worlds, but then I had a late change. Then I just had him, and I was like, oh, yeah, sweet. I've still got Calvin at the end of the year. And I really wish I had a one with Calvin Lundqvist instead, because he came 12th, and Calvin Heimberg came 28th. What am I doing here? What am I doing? I'm going to have a better plan next year, because this year was rough. Who'd you pick?
I had Corey Ellis.
Oh, imagine that.
Top 10.
Imagine that. Where did that put you in our tipping comp now?
This is big. This is big. I'm now two points off first. I'm in second and with only two points behind.
And with one event to play, right? I think that's the last event for us is USDGC.
Yeah.
Big. Who do you have up your sleeve for USDGC?
So I've got Eagle.
Yeah. Which,
not great, but that's who I have sitting there. And on the FPO side, I've still got Cat Merch, which surely she's good for a T10.
Yeah.
So that feeling better about having Cat Merch, but MPO, I might have to go Longquist. I don't know how I feel about pulling the trigger on Eagle. He's definitely come good late, but MVP wasn't ideal for him. So I don't know. I'm not sold on tipping him yet.
Interesting. Have you done any of like the dark horse ones this year? I can't believe I said that. I hate that.
Buckets. Like, I've already tipped Buckets.
Luke Taylor.
I haven't tailored either. So that's Taylor's the other one.
Could
I have.
Could be a good gamble there.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. I'm keen to see how that shakes out.
Mm.
The FBO. I didn't get a chance to check this out either, but I hear the rumor is Kristen Sitar just does not want to jump in the lake. Yeah. So apparently this is her second in a row, maybe. And fourth, something like that. And she went bogey, double bogey to finish to lose by two strokes. Mm-hmm. What do you reckon? Would you put some stock into that? She doesn't want to jump in?
A four-shot swing to lose by two? I'm going to jump on Yuli's bandwagon and say Kristen choked.
There you go.
And I did like that chat on Tour Life. And he makes a good point, like, because we didn't say that Ricky choked, but Ricky did choke. And and he's like, we don't say that enough about the bigger names. Like, if they've won a bunch and then they falter, like, it's not like Missy hit fire. No, Kristen went bogey double. Like, that's a choke. If that was like a lesser known FBO player, for example, like Cadence Burge to do that in that situation, be like, oh, you know, she's never been there and she's full choke artist. Cadence Burge is full. But no, and because it's Kristen, we're like, oh, she doesn't want to jump in the lake.
Yeah. Even if it was the other way around, let's say it was Missy. Yeah. Like the roles were just reversed like that. That's like, oh, Missy's going to take down a tournament over Kristen. And it's like, nope.
Yeah.
Choked. But with Kristen, it's just like, I don't know, I guess she doesn't want to win.
Yeah.
So bad.
Yeah.
Missy Gannon. Yeah, big down the stretch. So
big moment Missy.
Big moment Missy.
Yeah.
And then Paige Pierce moving up the leaderboard there, two into fourth. So cool to see her up and about.
You see the putt on 17?
No, I didn't see shit. I barely saw any NPO.
You'll see a birdie bogey, obviously, situation on 17, which put them tied going into 18. But if you think about 17 for a second, I don't know where the FPO tee off from, but they obviously have the same green. So it plays easy for MPO. They bomb it out there, then they just like throw into this little tunnel, and it goes downhill, and loads of them end up just like parking it and taking the birdie. I don't know where the FPO tee off on. But Missy's approach, short. So she was left with a C2 death putt down the hill looking at the bucket. And obviously behind the bucket, it's just a cliff. And big moment, Missy cashes it. Kristen's at 20 feet for her birdie, misses it, and then misses the comeback. And that's how she takes her bogey.
Big.
After just getting big putted by Missy. So that's where Missy won it. And then, because 18 also, as we saw in the MPO, all sorts of shenanigans can happen on 18, and they did in the FPO side as well. Missy really got the chocolates on 17, really.
Big. Yeah, I like that. And well, she took out the tour championship points too. So top 20 for them qualify. She's number one. Holland Hanley in second, and Tatar, with only playing half the events, gets there in third. So, Player of the Year is going to be interesting because Tatar has more wins than any of them, like a couple more wins. than any of them, I think. Missy might be only one, maybe one or two behind now. But yeah, missed a lot of events, didn't win the standing, so could go either way. I feel like it might be close enough that they just give it to Missy because she's on top. But we shall see. And even Evelina got two majors this year, right? So
correct.
Got to be an interesting one. We look at the cut line. So all the names you'd expect up the top are there. No surprises in the top 10. But then after that, at the cut line, not really too familiar with most of these names. Half not. Emily Weatherman, big, making it in, I think. Nice. But in terms of missing out, it doesn't seem like too many big names really missed out. So Kat Allen, obviously, but she missed most of the season, more than half the season.
It was like heavily pregnant for the part that she did play.
Yeah, exactly. Alexis Mondejano, way down out of it. She had a shocking year. I don't know what happened with that. But other than that, yeah, all the people you think should be there are there. So
there you go.
We shall see.
You will.
And you had Ali Smith for your tip in the FBO, yeah?
I did.
Yeah, me too.
Not a huge event, but that's what I'm down to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, should we have a bit of a look ahead for some throwers guarantee? We can't have it not two in a row.
All right. Yeah. I've got some guarantees in the barrel. I have.
Beautiful.
I've also got a troller's guarantee.
Excellent.
If you'll let it fly.
I'll let it fly.
Yeah. Because I feel like, obviously, just to recap on a troll is this, it's a 10. If it gets through, it's a 10. And if there's too much of a chance of something happening, we got to veto it and say, no, you can't have that as a troll.
Yeah, no, it's got to be a 10.
Yeah, exactly. But I think I've got one that's worth a 10, but we'll see.
Nice. All right, give me a guarantee.
All right, so throll's guarantee. I want you to cast your eye on, obviously, this weekend we have the Melton Ballarat Xavier swing on the Sunday. Sadly, I can't get out to it, but I've had a little look at the Melton signups, and there's a few there, plenty of space. There's 23 currently registered players, plenty of space still available. Then I've cast my eye on the Xavier League Day, not the double shenanigans just yet. And there's currently 13 players signed up there. And I'm wondering if I'm going to pull your move here. So here's what I want to ask you.
Yeah.
I want Don Carter versus the field, but I want to put an asterisk on this. I want it. The field is what I'm looking at. So I've taken a little image of
it. Gotcha.
If a little Cale Davey signs up later in the piece, this is not Don Carter versus Cale. This is Don Carter versus the other 12 that are currently signed up. What will you give me for Don Carter versus the field?
All right. So I'm having a look at the people that could roll in. Because there's people that won't, but the people that could. Stretch here with Mike Vanderlinden. Cranny could. Carey could. I don't know who Captain Deadpool is, but he won't. That's all I'm saying, I think.
Yep.
And normally when these things, we keep a little good eye on the Ballarat stuff. Normally when these things happen, he just gets it done. Don?
Mm-hmm.
Bit of a front runner. So if we're talking about it, just at Xavier, Don versus the field. I've got, a good, very good chance Don wins. So I've got to go 3, and then I guess that means I have to go 7 with the field.
Perfect. No, you've nailed that. I'll take the 3. If you had said 2-8, I was going to take the 8.
Yeah.
And that was all I was thinking. If he says 2, I'm taking the 8. But you said three. I got to take the three. I think it's a good three. Surely you will. Gets it done.
I think you will.
That's a good three for me. I'll take the three. Thank you.
I'm going to go a little left field here. No real reasoning behind it. Just I think it'd be interesting. But I don't want to play it that way. Let's go with this then. I'll stick with my original thing. So I'm just going to talk about the metrics rating because you get that after the round, right?
Yeah, you can. Yes, it doesn't show up, but yes, you do get it.
Okay, if you can find it and I can find it, then we know. Yep. Then that's all I want to know. I think that Cranny, our good mate Cranny, will have a better metrics rated round at Xavier than he will at Melton.
Okay. Better at Xavier metrics than at Melton. I don't even know how to score this up. Like I want to, because metrics ratings are so different to PDGA.
They're dicey. They're dicey. Exactly. I don't even know if I like it. I was looking at
it's based on how to
cross. Yeah, crossbreed them.
I'm gonna say you reckon he's gonna go better at Xavier than at Melton metrics. Yep. I'll give you. I'm just gonna give you a five for that. I don't know how to score it. I'll give you a five. Yeah.
I think that's a good call.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't know. I think it's a line ball.
I don't know.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right, you got a trollers?
Yeah, I've got a trollers. I want you to look at Melton, sign up. Yeah. And speaking of metrics ratings, I want you to look at Division B.
Yeah.
And I want you to look at the lowest rated Division B player.
830 Brett Bobridge.
And I want to say that he's going to win raw score Div B.
Oh, I mean, against Carey? Yeah. I didn't see Carey in there.
Yeah.
All right. He won't.
No, surely. He won't. Like, he's the worst player. He's the worst player in the division.
Yeah, he won't. That's fine. I'll give you that.
Fighting good?
Yeah, that's your trollers guarantee. That's a good one.
That's my trollers guarantee. Yeah.
All right. I'm also looking in Div B. I'm sticking with the cross promotion. So I'm saying my trollers guarantee is that Mitch Evers will have a better raw score at Xavier than he will at Melton.
I'll give you that. Yes.
It's like 100.
I'll give you 100 for that.
Yep. Sounds good.
All right.
Yeah, my trollers guarantee Mitchell dominate Xavier.
Yeah. A better raw score. Awesome. Good one. Yes. Yeah. That'd be so wild.
All right, nice. Looking forward to it. Yeah, it should be good fun. So hopefully more people sign up. I might even not be alive, so I'm not going. But hopefully more people sign up to the Ballarat thing and then show up for the fun doubles event that they got going on after that as well. So should be a good day, cool initiative. Remember when it was just Melbourne and Geelong were the only game in town?
Yeah.
And there was absolutely no way to ever mesh even those two. It was like Geelong did whatever the hell they wanted and Melbourne just had to work around it so that we could play both social days. And now it's like Melbourne and Ballarat are good mates. Let's band together. Oh, your thing's kind of near our thing. Let's just try to cross promote, do a bit of that. It's not that hard.
Nah.
Geelong.
Not that hard at all. Not that. And it's great to see how many Ballarat folks are signed up for the Melton League.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, have you got any spotlight notlight?
Got no notlights. I do have a spotlight for you.
Cool.
So we've mentioned a bunch of my honourable mentions, so I'll just run through them again. Taren's double legal. I had that down there. He hit me up as well. That's good. We have mentioned Proctor's putting. I'll chuck that in there as well. I'm going to honourable mention, we glanced over this a little bit, but my tipping this year, I know I spotlighted myself completely, but I'm just going to honourable mention myself here. I was in 19th at one stage on this leaderboard, which is basically dead last, and that was a few events in, and I now find myself in second. It has been one for the ages. Ever since I set up that spreadsheet and you gave me shit about it, it's just come in clutch, and I've charged up that leaderboard. But my actual spotlight is going to go to James Proctor and his wristband. Have you seen this?
Nah, missed that.
All right. So as he's about to putt on 18, he's going through his routine. He notably stops, looks down at his wrists, restarts his routine, and cashes the putt, and the rest is history. His wristband is just this purple little number that says weak ass on it, which was like a mate of his who sadly passed away, but it was one of his mate's like favorite catchphrases or things to say. And James wears it in honor of his mate and tells himself, I'm not going to be a weak ass. And he looks down and goes, don't be a weak ass, and then cashes the putt. That gets my spotlight.
Dope. I love that. That's a really cool one.
Yeah.
I have no real not light either, which annoys me. I think this is two in a row. We really need to find some not lights. We're gonna start tearing some people down. I don't like just pumping everyone up. So be careful this weekend, everyone. Because I'm gonna find something for next pod. I'm definitely gonna not light someone. But this is like a half spotlight, half not light. It's a spotlight because it's crazy good. And it's a not light because I hate him for it. So this goes to Chris Scott. And so Chris Scott's been playing disc golf for a while. He's lost discs over the years. You throw a disc, goes in a bush, can't find it. Whatever, happens all the time, right? And sometimes you just never get them back. He got a message from someone the other day from Mount Gambier who found one of his discs that he said was deep, balls deep, gone. But they found it somehow. They're going to give it to me at the eruption. So that will mean that every single disc he has ever lost has been found and returned to him.
Oh.
What?
What? That's crazy.
Crazy. He told me about it a little while ago and I forgot. And then it came up again when he randomly got with someone back when we were playing together at Bicentennial or something. And I sort of forgot to write it down. And then, he sent me the message saying this. So, there was one time when the guy lived like really far away or he lost it somewhere crazy. And Chris was like, oh, don't keep it. That's the only one that hasn't physically come back to him. But it could have. Chris just said, don't worry about it.
Crazy.
That's so fucked up. Like, I've lost a bunch this year. Like, I lost, like, two or three just by, like, I don't know. Like, I went to grab it out of my bag and it wasn't there. I was like, oh, I guess I lost it.
And even I've lost some of your discs this year.
Yeah, exactly.
I went looking for that during the week, actually.
I did.
No joy. No joy. Yeah.
I don't understand it. So, I guess that gets my – it's like an angry spotlight. It's not really a not light, but it's it gives my angry spotlight for just getting them all back somehow. Crazy.
That's crazy.
Mm. Cool. All right. Well, that's all I got. So thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.